guess you could say I'm a little on the strange side of myself because I have autism. But you would never believe the crazy things people have said or done around me because of my disability. My stories are true, and I hope they will teach you something about interacting with people like me.
Welcome to Say Yes to Sleeping, Autism for Strangers. I'm Jacob Bernard. That was my cousin Alex. He has what's called Connor's autism. Growing up together at our regular family dinners, he would always be in the next room, reading a book about UFOs or playing a Game Boy, self-removed from the loud socializing happening only a few yards away. I learned early on about autism and how it affected Alex in particular. Alex didn't like loud, busy places, even with his own family. When Alex got excited about something, he would flap his hands and make squealing noises. It was hard to get Alex to talk about anything, and when he did, it would be brief and about the same few subjects. He was a couple years behind me, so I didn't see him much in school, but when I did, I was glad to see him with friends, or at least his education assistants. I didn't fit in very well in school, and I knew Alex really didn't, at least in the traditional sense. To me, he seemed to be doing okay, or at least as well as Alex did. But I knew Alex relates to the world differently than you or I might. Loud noises causes him great discomfort. A crowd might make him shut down. It's sometimes hard for him to communicate how he's feeling or his preferences. But his mom figured out how to get to know him.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Jacob.
Allison is Alex's mom and my aunt. When she learned her son had autism, she became an advocate for him and all children with disabilities.
Can you tell us what autism is?
Autism is a lifelong developmental disability that usually shows up in before a child is three. It's more common in boys than girls. People have lots of varying degrees of difficulty or severity of symptoms.
What are the symptoms of autism?
Autism is basically a social and communication disorder. So people will have difficulty with both relationships, interactions, and communicating. People with autism can have very repetitive behaviors, likes, interests. When Alex was little, he repeated things constantly, the same sentence over and over and over.
So what is the difference between autism and Asperger's?
Well, according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the most recent one, they've merged the two into autism spectrum disorder. Many people who have Asperger's syndrome have typical intelligence to very, very high intelligence, but yet they have problems with social and communication problems. So they have autism, but they're able to speak, function. Many have careers. Some are married. So that is the high end. And then the autism spectrum shows everyone in between and on the other end. So it's like taking a string and holding it tight. You have people on one end and people on the other, and every single dot in between represents a person with autism. So everyone experiences it differently. There's a man named Stephen Shore, and he is a adult with autism, and he says, if you know one person with autism, you know one person with autism. Everyone is different in this spectrum disorder. So people have autism spectrum disorder, and they can have all kinds of different symptoms.
What other things are specific to Alex's autism?
Well, Alex is a flapper, a pacer, a whisper to himself.
And just to be clear, flapper is not a 1920s flapper.
That's right. He's an arm and a hand flapper, especially when he gets excited. Sometimes he squeals. He's very, very shy and hard to get to know. He's almost a non-communicator, but Alex can communicate, and we've learned over the years how to communicate with him.
How have things changed for people with autism since Alex was diagnosed?
When Alex was diagnosed, he was just about 4 years old. And at the time, they told us the incidence was 1 in 10,000 births. Today, it's 1 in 68 births, which is a huge difference.
A quick note, as of this recording, in 2018, the CDC has adjusted that figure to 1 in 59 births.
But also with that, now people have a lot more information and experience. Teachers know much more about autism than they did when Alex started school. So things are improving for this community.
And that dramatic increase, is that due to more instances of autism happening, or do we just have better information to diagnose it?
I think both of those things are true. I think we're seeing an increase in incidence and an increase in diagnosis. Autism is very, very frequent, and many people think that there could be things in our environment that produce autism. Some of the things that we use in our harvest and growth process, pesticides, herbicides, cleaning products, those things may be culprits. But also, there's a huge genetic component to autism as well.
Symptoms of autism have been recorded as far back as the 16th century by Martin Luther, but the word itself didn't adopt its modern usage until 1938 by Austrian pediatrician Hans Asperger, investigating what would become known as Asperger's syndrome, which is now understood to be on the higher functioning end of autism spectrum. In 1943, psychiatrist Leo Kanner was the first to clinically diagnose a group of children with early infantile autism. It took until 1980 for the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders to differentiate autism from schizophrenia, and a method for diagnosing autism wasn't made official until a revision 7 years later.
How did autism change you and your family?
Well, at first we were pretty blown over by the news that Alex had autism, and we were devastated and didn't really know what to do. So we were in denial, we were blindsided, we were blurry-eyed. Once we were able to kind of get up on our feet, we attended a conference that helped us understand special education, and we met a lot of other families who have children with disabilities and began to form a support system for us. And that helped incredibly. And then we were able to hit the ground running and try to figure out what autism meant to us and how we could help Alex in the best way possible.
So how did you help Alex? How did you approach his autism?
Well, early on, as soon as he was diagnosed, even before that, because he had the same behaviors, he's been in therapy ever since he was probably a year and a half old. So we had lots of speech therapy, physical therapy, and occupational therapy, and sensory integration therapy. We really hit the therapy button hard for Alex.
Can you tell me about, what was that, sensory?
Sensory integration. That's essentially integrating the senses through a lot of spinning and swinging and really getting Alex off his normal pattern of behavior so that his brain could begin to integrate the senses. Early on, we knew that Alex has extreme sound sensitivity. We used to say vacuums and mixers and blenders, oh my, because anything set him off, and he would just scream, crazy screams. And the only thing that we found that would calm him down is the windshield wipers in the car. So we would drive him around, which was pretty silly, but it did work for those early years.
Once Alex was diagnosed, what changed about your life? How did your parenting change? How did your friends react?
Once Alex was diagnosed, we became pretty isolated as a family. We didn't go out much. Restaurants were pretty problematic. It was just easier to stay home. Going over to friends' houses was hard because of Alex's behavior, and he wasn't potty trained then, and that was always, we always worried about him having an accident. So it was pretty hard during the early years, before Alex was diagnosed, or when he was diagnosed, because of some of his behaviors, I had to go on Prozac to be able to deal with things. One day I broke the door off the dishwasher when Alex was having a tantrum. I didn't hurt anybody, but we had to buy a new dishwasher. So that showed me that I needed some help in controlling my emotions. Once that got under control, I was able to cope a lot better. But Alex was our best teacher about how to parent him effectively. It took a lot of patience, a lot of love, and really building on his strengths.
Allison figured out how she could get to know her son by having him write. How did you get Alex to start writing?
That was pretty easy because Alex was the one who showed us that he had a remarkable skill. When he was in elementary school, he wrote an essay entitled My Vet Life, which showed us that he wanted to work with animals when he was older, which was a really good thing and gave us a direction. But really more than that, it showed me that Alex has a very unique writing voice and some incredible skill in explaining what it is he wants. He has humor, he's got great verbiage and great control of the English language. In fact, Alex is our dictionary at home. Whenever we need a word spelled, Alex knows how to spell it because he's so well read. Now, you need to remember that this is from a person who rarely speaks at all in real life. He's very quiet, very uncommunicative. So this was thrilling for us to see that he had these desires for his future and the desire to and the ability to communicate through writing. So that helped me start Alex writing our annual holiday letter over in December. And I hated doing that. And the letters that I wrote, to tell you the truth, they were just your typical boring, here's what we're doing letters that nobody really cares about. So it was really easy for me to say, Alex, you need to write our holiday letter. But it took quite a bit of work. Excuse me. It took quite a bit of work for me to get him to do that. In the beginning, I had to completely scaffold it for him, where I would put my name, Mom, and then maybe four numbers underneath, or maybe I even began with three numbers underneath in the early years. And then he had to fill out three things about Mom, and then his dad and his brother. And that was the beginning of an amazing project for our family. We sent them out during the holidays, and family and friends over the years really began to get to know Alex and see what he was like and to hear his sense of humor and his unique perspective on life. And we hear now, after doing it for 11 years, it's people's favorite holiday letter that they get every year. We've heard it so many times that we really thought we need to share Alex's voice with the world. And that's how we got started getting Alex to communicate.
How did the stories and the music get started?
Well, Alex's dad, Keith, came up with the idea to add the music. When Alex talks normally, he often slurs his words, making it extremely hard to understand him. Speaking over the music helps Alex slow down and gather the beat and speak in a more coherent manner, which is amazing. The product has been absolutely amazing. So I think the music regulates him and gives him permission to slow down, if you will. Alex's brother makes beats for people to do rap songs over, I guess is the best way to say it. And we tried Alex with the beats, and it was just an amazing difference to hear him speak in a slow, meaningful manner.
A particular piece of writing early in Alex's life really caught Allison's attention. Tell us about Alex's story, My Vet Life. How did that happen?
When he was in elementary school, they were supposed to write a story about what they wanted to do when they grew up. And Alex came home with this story. He got an A+ on it, which was awesome. It had perfect spelling. It was amazing, and it outlined what he wanted to do with when he grows up. And so we've used that to help him get involved with animals at school, at a couple different zoos, and now Alex is a volunteer with zoos and with animals, which is awesome. But really, most importantly, that story showed us that he has an incredible writing ability, an incredible speaking ability, and a definitely a very unique voice. A voice so unique that that's what we want to share with the rest of the world.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a veterinarian. Let's say a lady brings in her pet yellow anaconda. The anaconda got a mouse stuck in its throat. I take the giant snake and the owner goes to the waiting room. In my office, I take the anaconda to the operating room. I give the snake some sleeping gas. The gas puts it to sleep. I cut open its throat and remove the mouse and throw it away. I sew the snake's throat and remove the sleeping gas. The anaconda wakes up and I carry it to the waiting room and give it to the lady and she carries it out. I drive home and have free time.
What do you want this project to tell people about Alex and autism?
This project, I want people to understand that they can really get to know an individual with autism, whether it's their son, their daughter, their student, their neighbor, what have you. People with autism have lots to say. You just need to figure out what it is they're trying to say by building on their strengths and their interests. So that is our biggest takeaway, is to really not discount individuals with autism, because there really is a lot inside. And my hope is that this podcast will help others be able to do that for their own children or students. Almost one-fourth of people with autism don't have speech, or they're nonverbal. But that doesn't mean they don't have something to say. It's just trying to find out how they can communicate. The journey is totally worth it. And as Alex's stories show, people without autism can be just as strange as people with the disorder.
So Allison had figured out how to get Alex's voice out. You just got to hear him a little bit. Now let's really meet him. All right, Alex, introduce yourself.
My name is Alex Tyler. I'm 28 years old.
What is it like for you having autism?
It has its ups and downs.
Like what?
It's smarter than I look.
What are the ups?
Well, that was one of the ups. The only ups I know of. It's...
Sorry. What are the downs?
People sometimes don't understand me.
Why don't they understand you? We can move on. What do you do for work?
I volunteer at the Denver Zoo.
What do you do there?
I clean up mostly.
What do you do for fun?
I either play video games or I play around on the computer.
What do you dislike?
Stupid people, certain politicians. That's about it.
What do you really enjoy?
Reading about stuff involving the paranormal, stupid criminals.
What do you like about the paranormal?
It's exciting.
What are your favorite animals?
I like cats. I like black-tailed prairie dogs.
Do you like dogs?
Yeah, no. I've never been a dog lover.
But you grew up with dogs, right?
Yeah.
So you just kind of tolerated them?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is important to tell people about people with autism and about you?
People with autism you just gotta take your time when you're interacting with them. And if it's like they're ignoring you, they're trying to think of something to say to you.
What do you wish people knew about you?
That I'm a nice guy. I have a good sense of humor.
Why is it hard for you to speak to others?
Mostly because I'm afraid of what they'll say in return.
I'm afraid it won't be nice?
Yeah.
What do you want people to take away from this podcast?
The people with autism are unique in their own way.
What does autism mean to you?
It can be a burden, but it can also be really helpful.
In what way can it be helpful?
Because it helps. Because they can be really useful in certain areas.
What was your experience with his story, Nosy Neighbor?
Well, it was pretty shocking, actually, but today we laugh about it. The lady who lives across the street came into the office, recognized me, and said hi, went and checked in, and she sat down next to my mom and me and Alex, and she just started talking to us, and it was almost an out-of-body experience for us. It was right in front of Alex, and she just exclaimed how it makes her feel when she sees the disability bus pull it up at our house every day. And I'll let Alex read the story to you, but this is one of many things that have happened to Alex because of his disability.
When I was 18 years old, I attended Pikes Peak Community College in the Criminal Justice Program. I rode a door-to-door bus service by the name of Metro Mobility. I liked riding the bus because I got to see more of Colorado Springs that way. One day, my mother and I took my grandmother to a doctor's appointment. This happened regularly because my grandmother was in her 80s. I noticed the lady who lives across the street from us came into the waiting room. Recognizing us, she sat down next to us and said in a patronizing voice, "Every time I see the Metro Mobility bus pull up at your house in the morning to pick up your son, I thank my lucky stars that I'd never had a child with a disability." Overhearing this comment made me feel humiliated and embarrassed. The neighbor lady continued talking about her two children who were born normal. Nobody in this world is really normal. This hurt my feelings because the bus helps me access my life. Just because I use public transportation doesn't mean that I am less of a person than her normal children. People who make ignorant comments about people with disabilities are completely clueless. I pity this ignorant lady because her two kids sound boring.
In fourth grade, Alex was assigned to create an anti-drug slogan. Alex came up with, "Say yes to sleeping." I showed his mom early on. He had a strong sense of humor and unique perspective, very much his own. I've known Alex my entire life, and until I heard his stories, I realized I hadn't appreciated how much was going on under the surface that I'd taken for granted all these years. A person with autism is still very much a person. They just process the world in a different way, and sometimes that can make it very difficult for other people to get to know them. We made this podcast as a way to share their stories that will give you a new perspective on those with autism and other disabilities. Our family have often joked, people are strange when you are stranger. And when you hear these stories, I think you'll agree. Thank you for listening, and please join us next time. Say Yes to Sleeping, Autism for Strangers is a production of Autism Strategies. Original music is by Sense. To download these tracks and more, search Sense, that's S-E-N-S, on iTunes. For more information on the Say Yes to Sleeping podcast and resources on autism, please go to sayyestosleeping.com. I've been Jacob Bernard. Remember to say yes to sleeping.